Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a bi-week edition of the We Are Podcast, the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcasting Network. I am one of your hosts, Jared Pregard. I am joined by my co-host, Corey Geiger. Knock, knock, Corey.
Oh, man, who's there? I love knock, knock jokes. Who's there?
Karma.
Oh, that's a good one, dude. Nice, nice. How about that? You look, it's a bye. Here, so it's interesting, Jared, is it's a bye week for Penn State. I don't know what the hell people do on bye weeks. I'm so used to covering Penn State football and being busy all day. You're covering Pitt, for goodness, during the bye week. But I did get a chance to watch some of that Iowa-Purdue. Karma, that's a great – I mean, look, we can joke all we want. You boo injured players, you deserve to lose. And I don't, you know, wish bad things upon teams. And you know, it can come across as sour grapes maybe from the Penn State side. But Iowa just was – they handled that so poorly last week that karma is the right way to say it.
And – listen, there are not very many things that James Franklin and Pat Narduzzi agree on. Pat Narduzzi, of course, is the coach of Pitt. And they agreed on this. He backed him up this week, which is, I think, great. And I think that's expected because coaches back each other up when they're in the right. If he's in the wrong, I get it. But, you know, those are two coaches that really have a disdain for each other. And listen, Kirk Ferentz has done a great job at Iowa, but I don't think he was right in what he said about Penn State's players going down with injuries. And James Franklin said it himself. Why would we have our best players go down? Do you think that James Franklin would tell Sean Clifford, hey, pretend like you're hurt? I don't think that's the case. And when your character is attacked as a coach, that's when you go on the offensive. And that's not okay to happen in a situation like this.
It does happen around the country. People fake injuries. You can go Google some videos of people faking an injury. I think there was a great one with Ole Miss and Arkansas, I think might've been the game this week or this year where a lineman just all of a sudden just sits on the ground. It does happen. And fans can perceive things one way or another. It is fascinating though. Jared and I are sports writers. We're trying to discuss interesting things. Okay. Guys, we can talk about Sean Clifford and Taequann Roberson for 40 minutes here. We can talk about can Penn State beat Ohio State one way or another. The storyline this week, I mean, it's amazing how long it lingered, Jared. And by the time people are listening to this podcast, you know, it'll be the following week. It's, you know, but that's a story that just hung around and hung around. Kirk Ferentz talked on Tuesday. Franklin finally got a chance to talk on Wednesday. Iowa loses on Saturday. I can tell people from our perspective, from what Jared and I do, we're just looking to write good stories. And that story just was kind of a godsend throughout the week.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because, you know, Nick Saban mentions rat poison all the time, right? And he's speaking of the media and speaking of the hype and reading too much into the hype. And, of course, Kirk Ferentz comes out and says, he smelled a rat. And we've covered Penn State football. You've covered Penn State football for many, many years. I've covered it for the last 6 years. James Franklin, say what you want about him on game days and whatever, but James Franklin is not that type of guy where he would do something or encourage something. I think Penn State, for what it's worth, has done and played the game the right way and almost to an extent too well, you know, when you talk about COVID protocols, because I'm sure there are a lot of schools that did not follow all the protocols last year. And I think James Franklin, obviously you see what Penn State was able to accomplish once those kind of were released. And, you know, when, like I said, about the character thing is when your character is challenged or questioned, when your integrity is questioned, that's when you get on the defensive. And we saw James Franklin that nobody has seen in quite some time. At Penn State, and it made for great fodder, and it still is. Obviously, we're talking about it over a week later, and you know that's college football, and you know I think this might be a little bit of a rivalry brewing.
Yeah, it is a nice little rivalry between Penn State and Ohio State. We do, or Penn State and Iowa. We do have a lot of great stuff we're going to talk about for people that are tired of the Iowa thing. In the second segment here, Jared and I are going to talk about who would win between Penn State and Pitt. I think that's a fun conversation, and Penn State fans are immediately gonna say, ah, come on, you know, Penn State would beat them. Pitt's playing real well. Kenny Pickett might be a top 10 draft. So we're going to get to that in the second segment because I think that is fun. But I do want to throw this back out there again, Jared, about a bye week. Just what fans do on a bye week. I know a lot of Penn State fans who travel to games. They either go to all the home games or they'll, you know, go on the road to a game. So your Saturdays, your weekends are consumed by Penn State football. And it is, I've covered Penn State nearly 20 years. And every time there's a bye week, I just feel bizarre, Jared. I feel like, what am I supposed to do today? Do I actually get to watch other college football teams play?
It was really weird because obviously I was called into pinch hit for Chris Carter, who covers Pitt, who was away for the weekend and had today off. So I got to watch Pitt football, and we'll talk about that in the second segment, but you're right. You just don't know what to do. Like, you know, a typical game day for you and I especially is, you know, we carpool to games regularly, and, you know, typically we'll go up to the game about an hour and a half before. And, you know, if it's a noon game, that's 10:30, 11 o'clock. And if it's later, it's just so weird. Today it was kind of dreary out, rainy, in Altoona, at least where we both live. And it's just, you know, it's just one of those things where you're kind of just beside yourself. You don't know what to do. And watching a game and being able to kind of turn your mind off where you're not analyzing every single move, every single decision is both refreshing and scary at the same time.
Yeah, I tried to take the day off and not do anything. But once Iowa lost, you know, I saw all the reaction. We have a nice fun little roundup story. The headline is Karma, as Jared mentioned in his knock knock joke. We have a roundup story at DK Pittsburgh Sports from late Saturday night. You can check that out. I took my boy over to one of our local football fields here, field Jared's very familiar with, at Mansion Park. We kicked some field goals. My boy's 9. Hey, Jared, he kicked a 15-yard field. No, nobody cares about this, but I care. He kicked a 15-yard field goal the other day. I think I might have a little kicker on my hands, Jared.
It could be. It sounds like a nice little Martin Gramatica. Maybe even a Jordan Stout. I've heard his legs pretty good for his age.
But it's funny because, you know, again, you're just finding stuff to do, and I don't get to spend any time with my kids on a football Saturday. I actually always like night games because you do kind of get to enjoy the day a little bit. But hey, look, we'll close this segment here with the whole Iowa thing. I'm glad this is all over with. Let's put it in the past. It is interesting because a couple people pointed this out, Jared. It does hurt the Big Ten a little bit because you wanted Iowa to be undefeated and going into the Big Ten championship game, and either Penn State or Ohio State, you want to beat a good team, that kind of thing. Iowa's not real good. I think they might be one of the worst number two teams that we've seen really in a while. A buddy of mine pointed out South Florida rose up to number two a handful of
Charlie
years ago.
Charlie Strong.
Yeah, that's right. But this Iowa team was never a number two team. But, you know, now the Big Ten West is weak. The Big Ten East has all the powerhouse teams. And, you know, clearly I don't see anybody standing in the way. If Clifford can come back, it's Penn State, Ohio State, and really kind of everybody else.
Yeah, and let's be real here. You're at home and you get bounced by a Purdue team that – put up 24 points. I mean, Iowa's offense is not good, right? But you get bounced by 17 to an unranked Purdue team, and you're the home team. You know, Jeff Brohm's had Kirk Ferentz's number. I think I saw that he's 4-1 against Iowa in his tenure. You know, you talk about Jim Harbaugh not beating Ohio State. Well, Iowa's got to win those big games too, whether it's Purdue or Penn State. And, you know, that's something Ferentz hasn't really done.
Yeah, no question. They've had a lot of success out there. And I've always respected Kirk Ferentz a lot. I lost a lot of respect for them last week. But I will say, as we wrap this part up, James Franklin's, I'll call it performance, but James Franklin's press conference last Wednesday, where he goes on for 5 minutes, pulls out a piece of paper, knew he was going to get asked about it. I've never seen him that angry. We've seen him passionate before. He was really passionate after the Ohio State loss a few years ago when he mentioned the elite comment. But this was as angry as I've ever seen James Franklin. So I will guarantee you, James Franklin had a big smile on his face for a good bit of the day Saturday.
Absolutely. And with that, it's now, Pat, we're now on to Illinois. We're on to the rest of the podcast. We'll catch you here after this break on the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcasting Network. Welcome back to the We Are Podcast on the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcasting Network. Let's talk about Commonwealth football, Corey.
This will be fun, man.
I covered the Pitt game they took on. Virginia Tech dominated the game. Kenny Pickett, I think, is the real deal. Penn State obviously has the bye. The big debate is always, should Pitt and Penn State play? Some say yes, some say no. Some say we don't really care. Corey, where do you stand on that?
I really don't want to see the series renewed. I wouldn't mind if they play a couple times a decade or maybe every 14, 16 year. Penn State has other priorities. Penn State has three non-conference games a year. They're going to play one big opponent and then two easy wins. I don't want that big opponent to be Pitt every year. I want to see Auburn. I want to see West Virginia. I want to see, you know, the likes of a Virginia Tech, or maybe we could get Notre Dame or Alabama, or I've always wanted to see Oklahoma. I mean, there are a lot of possibilities to play other than Pitt. Those Pitt weeks are fun. And the reason we're talking about this is because Jared saw Pitt beat Virginia Tech, beat them down at Lane Stadium 28-7. Not many people go into Lane Stadium and just pound the Hokies, but that's what Pitt did. And Kenny Pickett is for real. Now, we thought it'd be fun to say who would win between Pitt and Penn State this year. Could we see it in a bowl game, maybe? Could we see Penn State versus Kentucky in a bowl game? That would be fun with Will Levis versus Sean Clifford. But Penn State, you know, with Sean Clifford can do a whole lot of things because that defense is good. But the way Pitt has played, the way Kenny Pickett has played, Jared, we can look at the loss to Western Michigan, which I still cannot wrap my mind around. They give up 44 points at home and lose to Western Michigan. This is a different Pitt team. They've got Clemson this week. Clemson's not really good at all. I think it'd be a hell of a game between Pitt and Penn State. And as good as Kenny Pickett is playing, I could see Pitt beating Penn State, which I would not have thought at all after Pitt lost to Western Michigan.
Right. And I said this in my story about it. You know, you at times watching a Pitt football game is kind of like a roller coaster. And I've been able to cover a couple Pitt games. And when they played Penn State, of course. And it's really crazy because you always expect them to kind of maybe not so much, you know, dominate like they did today, but like in the third quarter, there was momentum coming for Virginia Tech and they stifled them. And it just seemed like this game could have turned at any point. In that point in time, it was 28-0. Kenny Pickett scored three touchdowns, two in the air, one on the ground. And, you know, you just kind of expected Pitt to Pitt. You know, Pitt's a verb now. Like that Western Michigan, you lose to a directional Michigan, and that shouldn't happen, and it shouldn't happen at Heinz Field, right? And that's football. But that's always something that Narduzzi has had an issue with is – they lose the game that they shouldn't. And then of course they win a game that they shouldn't either. So it's just one of those deals. And that's what makes kind of it entertaining. And it's a roller coaster ride. And I can understand why Pitt fans, their heart rates have to be spiked in red line almost all the time on Saturdays.
Well, I was going to mention this in our first segment, but it just goes to show if Sean Clifford would have stayed in the Iowa game, Penn State would be the number two team in the country. But because he got hurt, they lose. And if he can't play for a while, we're wondering how many more games they'll win. And we'll talk more about that here in the third segment later on. But I think even with Sean Clifford, if Pitt and Penn State played on a neutral field, because
Mansion Park would be a good place for that, Corey.
There we go. How about that? Because Pitt's defense has played better and because Penn State can't run the ball. If I had to pick right now today on a neutral field, because of Kenny Pickett, I think I would pick Pitt to win by 1 or 2 points. That's going to anger a lot of Penn State fans, and I'm not hating on Penn State. I'm just a little bit more sold on Pitt because they can run the ball and their defense is playing better. Now, if Pitt goes out and gets pounded by a really mediocre Clemson team next week, hey, we can revisit this, Jared, but I want to put you on the spot. If Pitt and Penn State played on a neutral field right now, and let's say Sean Clifford is healthy, who wins that game?
You know, I think it's tough because I think Pitt and Penn State are a lot more similar than anybody ever wants to admit. You know, you've got an experienced signal caller in Clifford and Pickett. I think Pickett over the course of his career has been a lot more consistent. But I think both defenses are very similar. They both play a stifling style, a suffocating style. I think Penn State is prone more to the big play defensively. I think they're a lot more aggressive up front than Narduzzi's style of defense. I think, you know, Narduzzi's secondaries are always pretty strong. But you know what? I think skill-wise, Penn State would have the edge with the receivers. I think running game right now, Pitt has the edge there. Abby Candy was a stud for them. It's Israel Abby Candy. And you know what? Penn State has just not established a running game up front. I think, you know, defensively, I think it's a push. And I think the secondary is a push too. I think the defenses are very, very similar.
Is Pitt's secondary as good as Penn State's secondary? Penn State's secondary is outstanding.
Right. And I think that if there's ever an edge, I think it would go to Brisker and Penn State on the defensive side of the football. But I think that would be a very fun game, but I would also hate for it to, I would hate for a game like that to be played somewhere other than the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Because I don't like to agree with you, I would probably take Penn State by 3.
You don't like to agree with me? Why? I'm very agreeable.
It doesn't make for good podcasting.
I agree with that. I do agree with that. People need to disagree more. But look, I that's one thing about the bowl games that you said. Bowl games are looking for money. Bowl games are looking to put butts in the seats. They're looking for TV ratings. And, you know, sometimes if you can get national programs matching up Penn State versus somebody else, you know, you might do. But Penn State versus Pitt is huge in this state. But that's why, you know, I always wonder if these bowl games really ever even consider that. I will throw this out because, again, I'm not joking. Kentucky is 6-1. Man, who would not love seeing Will Levis versus Sean Clifford? I think that would be – now, again, Penn State's got a long way to go to get there because they've got to get Sean Clifford back or else they could be 7-5 or 8-4. But Penn State versus Pitt in a bowl game, Penn State versus Kentucky in a bowl game, I think those would be terrific, man. You can sign me up for either.
No, I agree. And you know, that's, I mean, Penn State and Kentucky have faced off more recently in the Citrus Bowl and New Year's Day in 2019. And you know what? Hey, say what you want. I think it'd be fun. You know, Mark Stoops is a good coach. The entire Stoops family, I was able to talk with Bob Stoops at Big Ten Media Day, and I thought that was pretty cool. But you know what? Hey, it's all about the money. College football is all about the money, right? You know, as much as we can sit here and talk about how great the traditions and really the pageantry around game days are, it's all about the money. It's the ratings. It's why Fox Big Saturday games are 4 hours long. It's commercials. It's money. Penn State's a big draw. Penn State Pitt outside of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, not the biggest of draws. Now, maybe to Penn State fans that are spread out throughout the country, but Penn State, Michigan, or Penn State, Kentucky, Penn State, and against an SEC school, a higher tier SEC school like a Florida, Justin Shorter, maybe even an Alabama. I don't think that they would play this year, but those are what's going to draw ratings, and they want ratings. You know, the Outback Bowl or whatever, nobody's tuning in because it's the Outback Bowl. They want maybe a Bloomin' Onion or two, or some shrimp on the Barbie. But you're tuning in to see who's playing, right? And
hey, man, how about this?
Kentucky, hey.
Yeah. Maybe. What if Alabama loses to Georgia? Penn State loses to Ohio State. You got both of them at 10-2. I'll take Penn State, Alabama. I think Alabama would beat Penn State pretty easily. But I'll take that matchup. That would be fantastic.
Oh, it'd be fun to watch. I mean, anytime you get to – and that would be a game that I would – listen, I know that we're not really traveling, and we're actually going to be heading out to Columbus here in a couple of weeks. But I would love to go see Saban in person and just kind of, you know, see what he's like during a game week with the media. We don't really get to see that up here. We get to see James Franklin, and really this week was probably the coolest time. And like we said in the first segment, Pat Narduzzi and James Franklin agreed on something. And that is just, I think that's what we're trying to wrap our heads around. There's something that unifies the Commonwealth quite like that. The two coaches agreeing in unison. I'm not quite sure if hell's frozen over, if it's unthawing yet or not, but that was a sight to behold this week. But seeing Franklin against Saban, I think, would be a lot of fun. And obviously you've got the Bill O'Brien storyline with that too. So I think that would be kind of cool. But hey, you know, that's college football. And I think that's the beauty of it too, is that you're always one game away from being bounced. Now I'm very interested to see how far Iowa drops in the polls because of this loss, because you look at quality of losses, right? Which is a really weird thing to say, but at the time of the game. And I think that's something that you have to kind of look at too, because at the time of the game, when Penn State beat Auburn was ranked so-and-so, right? What they do after that, I don't know that it necessarily devalues the win at that time. It might devalue kind of the strength long-term, but that's something too, is, hey, Iowa lost to an unranked Purdue team at home. Penn State loses to the number 3 ranked team on the road with a backup quarterback. It's just the quality of the loss, I think, that is kind of mind-boggling. Like Alabama and Texas A&M, they lose on the road at an unranked Texas A&M. And, hey, lo and behold, here we are.
So I think Penn State will be ranked ahead of Iowa. By the time people listen to this podcast, a lot of, you know, we'll already know because it comes out Sunday afternoon. I believe Penn State will be ranked ahead of Iowa. I think the pollsters will maybe have, as they've had, even though Iowa beat them, I think as the pollsters realize maybe more about Clifford not being there. What do you think, Jared? I think Penn State, I don't know exact numbers, maybe Penn State 7, Iowa's 8, give or take.
Yeah, I think everybody just slides up. You know, Cincinnati is going to be the number 2 ranked team. Although, you know, as we're recording this, Oklahoma is just going off right now against TCU. And Caleb Williams show, you know, we talk about Oklahoma and kind of the instability of the Sooners. But now that they found Caleb Williams, I'm still trying to wrap my head around the fact that they let Spencer Rattler play in as many games with this kid on the bench.
Spencer Rattler was the projected number 1 pick in the draft coming into this year. And now he's fallen out of the first round, it looks like. And Caleb Williams was the number 1 recruit in the country. You know, Oklahoma was messing. Now, let me preface all this by saying that they don't play any damn defense in the Big 12. I mean, the Big 12 is laughable to me for the lack of defense. I've been paying attention to the Oklahoma TCU game as the night goes on. You know, so I take the numbers in the Big 12 with a grain of salt. But Caleb Williams has changed that team. I mean, we were wondering if Oklahoma could hang on, and they were down big against Texas. Now Oklahoma is absolutely very much still in the running to go undefeated and get to the college football playoff. Because one loss for Oklahoma may bounce them all together. But, man, making that quarterback switch, Caleb Williams is not going to win a Heisman. You don't win a Heisman for half a season. But I've said all along, Sean Clifford's the most important player to his team in all of college football, and that is true. But the switch to Caleb Williams, man, oh, man, what a massive, massive thing that's been for the Sooners.
You know, it's funny that we mentioned that. I mean, I'm looking at the box score right now, and at the time of this recording, there's about 5 minutes left in the game. And, you know, Max Duggan for TCU is thrown for 346 yards and 4 touchdowns. Caleb Williams, 295, 4 touchdowns. Also a touchdown on the ground. He's got 66 yards rushing. It's, you know, every coach wants an easy decision. You don't like to make the hard decisions because somebody that you've recruited that you want to play for your program has come to this program, wants to play, wants to do what's best for the program. Sometimes that means making that decision. And listen, Rattler was supposed to be this great quarterback, and we just did not see that. And him and Caleb Williams, they're two polar opposites as far as technique and as far as style go. But the Caleb Williams that we're seeing now is more reminiscent of the Baker Mayfields, the Jalen Hurts type of Oklahoma offenses, which has really been Lincoln Riley's specialty. And you're right. In the Big 12, they don't play defense. I think that's, you know, hey, it is what it is. That's why it was called a shootout for the longest time, not a showdown. It's because they put up points in a lot of those games. But, you know, it's the thing was Caleb Williams better in camp? We don't know. And obviously we didn't find that out because this week, because guess what? They didn't have any media access at Oklahoma because a student reporter got on top of a public building with some binoculars and really rattled some cages at Oklahoma. And yeah. I think that's what it's all about. I mean, that's what's crazy about college athletics. The privacy and just the paranoia is second to none. And listen, everybody's trying to gain an edge, blah, 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 blah. But hey, it's okay to make those hard decisions. And this might be a season saving decision for Oklahoma and company.
All of this discussion is a perfect segue for our next segment about the importance of the backup quarterback. Oklahoma's got a backup quarterback. Texas A&M beat Alabama with a backup quarterback. Does Penn State have a backup quarterback? We're going to find out
right after this break on the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcasting Network. And we're back on the We Are Podcast of the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcasting Network. He's Corey Geiger. I'm Jared Prugar. You know, I'm a pretty good backup in my role, whether it's helping on the Pirates, whether it's helping with some things with the Steelers and the Pitt Panthers today. They don't make them all like me, Corey. They don't make them all like Caleb Williams. What goes into being a good backup? And do you think Penn State has the right backup on the team?
There's no reason to believe right now that Sean Clifford will play against Illinois. The hope is that he could play against Ohio State here in a couple of weeks and that Penn State can beat Illinois with the defense and everything. It's apparently a common football injury. Does that mean a collarbone? Does that mean a rib? Does that mean he was holding his back as he walked off the field into the tunnel? We don't know. All we can do is speculate, and people don't like to speculate about injuries to college kids, but Penn State's not going to tell us anything. So, I mean, Sean Clifford, there's a picture of him in a pumpkin carving contest, Jared, on Saturday. So he can carve pumpkins.
So his wrists and hands aren't broke.
Yeah, should we read anything into that? I don't know. Hell, I mean, that's what – I remember – let me tell a real quick story. I remember – Rob Bolden got hit, I think it was Minnesota, in 2011. He hit his head, and he had a concussion. And he was tweeting later Saturday or Sunday. People thought that because he could tweet, he could play football. That's how we look at what these athletes do. And we think, okay, if you can do that, you'll be okay. Sean Clifford's in a pumpkin carving contest. He can play some. We don't know. We have no idea if Sean Clifford, if it's a collarbone, if it's a rib, that stuff can be pretty painful. Can they give him medicine? What, Jared? Do you use the phrase "numb it up" the other day on my radio show?
I did, Corey. I mean, they have access to advanced medical technology. I mean, if you can play through some pain, I mean, you look like a guy like Brett Favre. I mean, that dude had injury after injury, and I'm sitting here in my office in my house, and I look to my right, and on my bookshelf I have an autographed mini helmet of Steve McNair, who was one of my favorite players growing up, right above my autographed Tim Tebow batting gloves, game used and very during his minor league baseball career. Always like to have God on my side, but you know, those players played tough. They played tough football, and they played through a lot of pain. And can Clifford do that? Can he manage the pain? I mean, let's be real. If he wanted to come back against Iowa, he would have. And we mentioned the Citrus Bowl a couple of years ago. That was the first time really Penn State's let out a lot of information as far as a player. They came out and said that not Sean Clifford, but Trace McSorley at the time had broken his foot and would be out for the game. He comes back and seemingly there are no issues. Of course, Penn State ends up losing that game. But you know, they're not going to tell us, and that's okay. I mean, obviously, you know, for the sake of telling stories, you want to know, you want to have access to that information, but at the same time, you got to respect that privacy of the player as well. But, you know, if it's something that you can play through, at that point, it's just pain management. If you can get a shot to numb it up, and then that lasts the 3 hours for the game, that's great. Because I think a 75% Sean Clifford is better than any of the other options that, that Penn State has right now.
Yeah. And so I think we're going to see Roberson this week, and then they'll give Clifford time to maybe see what happens for Ohio State. They probably feel like they can get through Illinois with Roberson. And look, what kind of quarterback is Taequann Roberson? We've seen very little. He's played virtually no meaningless snaps until the Iowa game. I thought he was inconsistent and kind of inaccurate in the two open scrimmages we saw in April at Beaver Stadium. But he was a four-star kid. He's the man now. He got the first team reps this week. So he'll get the first in the bye week. He'll get the first team reps during the Illinois week. If you're a competitor and you know, now is my time. Now is my time. And there some for some people it can click. Did it click against Iowa? No. Did he have much of a chance with his offensive line ball starting every other damn play and it's third and 28? Not really. Okay, so what kind of quarterback is Taequann Roberson? I'm really looking forward to finding out against Illinois, and we'll see. I do not think, I mean, unless he is just the second coming of whatever, that they're going to beat Ohio State with him. But you do have a couple of weeks. You got a couple of weeks to find out. Everybody's fingers crossed. Because, look, here's the thing, Jared. Let's get into this. How much rides on Sean Clifford coming back? He comes back, maybe they go 10-2, 11-1. He doesn't come back, they go 7-5. Is USC interested in James Franklin at 7-5, Jared?
No, of course
not. No. Is USC interested in James Franklin at 10-2?
Absolutely.
Okay. Can I make a case then, if you connect the dots with me, maybe James Franklin's future depends on if Sean Clifford can come back healthy or not. Because if he doesn't and they go 7-5, they were 4-5 last year. That's just one of the many things. If Sean Clifford comes back and he plays well, he goes to the draft. If he comes back and he doesn't play well or he can't come back and he's hurt, he probably has to come back to Penn State next year. What does that do to the quarterback situation? What does that do to Drew Aller with his potential? What does that do to the transfer portal? There are so many questions because of one guy. It is amazing. Jared, you're a football coach. Next man up, next man up, next man up. You can talk about everybody on the team being equal. That's not the case. This guy and his status determine a huge number of factors for the next year or two of the Penn State football program.
Yeah, and I mean, coming into the season, Sean Clifford was the guy, the most important player, because I think, you know, one of the things that you can look at right now is that the most important player might not be your best player, but he's the most important guy to their success. And a lot rides on his arm and his legs and the rest of his body for that matter. But you look at, you know, you look at the situation that Roberson's kind of fallen into. You want to always be prepared. And the old adage is you prepare like you're the starter. Well, that is pretty impossible when you're in practice mode.
That's right.
Right? Because you're practicing with the second teamers. You have that rapport. You're, you know, or even some weeks you're practicing with the practice squad, and that's okay. That's part of being a backup. That's, you know, but you're right. Being a backup is very, very important, clearly. And you have a big role there, but you know, you hope that they can kind of turn it around and really get back to some sort of quality football. And really, you know, I love to say this, and I think this is really true, not just because I say it, but when you get on campus, your star ratings go away. At that point, it's all about development. So how much has he developed over the course of his time at Penn State? There's been quite a few of offensive coordinators for Roberson since he got to Penn State. And, you know, that's the situation too, because not only, you know, we talk about Sean Clifford having five different offensive coordinators or however many, well, Roberson's had almost as many, you know, and that's something two that you really don't think about, but just because the starter's going through it, so is the rest of that quarterback's room. And these offenses, as we're seeing, are much, much different.
And Roberson was the third string guy last year behind Will Levis. Roberson didn't get many, many important reps last season. Probably none.
He might have gotten mop-up duty late, I think, against Illinois was his first.
Yeah, yeah. He got in a game, but I'm talking about practice reps of any caliber. You were getting Will Levis ready to play because Sean Clifford wasn't very good last year.
Right.
Then you come in this year and you've got Yursich. What's your number one priority? Your number one priority was to get Sean Clifford ready, okay? I mean, so if you've got a typical situation, the backup, you would think Jared would get a lot of reps and get a lot of experience and opportunities and so on and so forth. But in this year, where you've got a new guy coming in and you didn't have spring ball or summer ball last year because of COVID, they had to probably spend an even more inordinate amount of time getting Clifford ready, which means how much time could they realistically spend on Roberson? How much of the offense does Taequann Roberson know? Does he have the full package? Does he have 50% of it? Does he have 75% of it? You would think whatever percentage he had now during this 2-week period, the bye week and then the pre-Illinois week, you would think they're going to really, really, really hone in on what he does well. You don't need to know 100% of the offense real well to beat Illinois. You had better damn well be able to do 50, 60% of something really good just in case, you know, craziness that happens.
This is the best worst case scenario for Penn State. Clifford gets hurt, has to sit down, and Roberson's in charge. Well, the game ends, they lose, but they get a bye week to do some Roberson-tailored offensive, you know, get some of those plays and tailor it to Roberson. You get an Illinois team, which, you know, this is no disrespect to Brett Bielema. Penn State is infinitely better than Illinois on paper. Obviously, what happens between the lines on Saturday is yet to be determined, but Roberson should be able to handle them. He's not going to play nearly as bad as he did against Iowa. I think it's safe to say that. If he does, Penn State's got a hell of a lot more problems than we even thought that they did that point. So it was the best worst case scenario. You have time to develop here on the fly, put in some more plays tinkered towards or tailored towards what Roberson can provide with his legs and his arm. And hey, now you got to see what you're going to get. But now this also, you know, let's think about this here, because there's going to be strategery put into play here, because obviously if Clifford doesn't come back for Illinois, now Ryan Day and Ohio State have to prepare for both Roberson and Sean Clifford. And those two are polar opposites from what it seems on the field.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that's why we're not going to know anything. We're not going to get a depth chart.
They're not going to tell us anything.
Yeah, we are never, ever going to get any more Penn State information ever. I mean, really, that's just where we are. Jerry and I are in the media. We want information so we can tell you guys. You guys want information so that you can feel informed about the team. That's how this has always worked. When the depth charts went away this year, man, James Franklin never talks about injuries anymore. And if we even ask about it anymore, he gets upset. So, folks, we are never going to get information on injured Penn State players again. And that's to the benefit of your program. Why would you want to tip your hand in any way? I wonder, Jared, is Sean Clifford going to be on the sideline in a uniform on Saturday against Illinois? I think that's an interest, because as you pointed out, it at least give the thought that he is ready. If indeed he's even close, do you play the strategery, as you said, put him in a uniform, even if he's not going to play? I mean, there are some interesting cat and mouse games you can play there.
I'm just glad you said mouse instead of rat, Corey.
Nice.
But no, you're right. I mean, that's a tough thing, because you never want to, you know, you never want to tip your hand, right? And nor should you. Like, we aren't ever going to get any information from Penn State, and rightfully so. We don't. I mean, as much as it would help us do our jobs at times, you know, hey, listen, is a depth chart really that important? No, but to Ohio State and whoever, absolutely it's important. Hey, but they honestly, they know that before we do anyway. Ohio State knows who's going to play, what situation, you know, what's the percentage of them running and passing. When the sky is falling or the sun is out and it's 65 degrees or below, they analyze every little move they make. Grass, turf, third down, fourth and five. Sorry to bring that up again. But it's just one of those situations. So they know, everybody knows. The media, they don't care about us. But that's kind of the cat, those cat and mouse games are what makes it entertaining. It's, you know, hey, what are they thinking? Do we have to plan for Sean Clifford? Is Mason Stahl going to play? What can we do? I mean, you can only plan so much, but you do have to account for those options. You know, like let's say a Rutgers team, they had to prepare to see Will Levis play and Will Levis run the ball 17 times in a row and not throw a pass. So, I mean, that's kind of the more intriguing parts of coaching. It's, you don't want it to give any information, and the information that you want to give is really, really irrelevant.
Yeah, and we're all looking forward to seeing, you know, what Taquan Roberson can do. We know Penn State's defense is good. That will be a major, major factor. Obviously, Illinois' offense is not very good. I'm real curious to see how the week plays out. By the time people listen to this podcast, well, you know, maybe Monday, Tuesday, we might have more information or more indication about something. Maybe James Franklin might give us a sliver on Tuesday of how well Taquan Roberson is picking up the offense. You would hope so. But here we are. I mean, we have a week. Everybody's just assuming Penn State's going to beat Illinois. I am assuming that as well. And then the season comes down to Ohio State, as we all knew that it was, or that it would. Jared and I will be in Columbus, as he mentioned earlier. So all the goals are still there, Jared. All the goals are still there. You get Sean Clifford back, you got a shot to go 11-1, get to the playoff. You don't get Sean Clifford back, yikes. Who the heck knows?
Right, and that's kind of that's where we're at with Penn State right now. And you know what? If Clifford comes back, I think they're fine. I think, you know, they're going to go into Columbus. I think what we're going to see there is going to be a really, really good game. Now you look at kind of everything. You know, the 6, 7, and 8 teams: Penn State, Ohio State, and Michigan didn't play Friday or Saturday night, because I guess there are Friday games. Michigan State won. They beat Indiana by 5, 20-15, which is about as Indiana of a game as you can imagine. So they're probably going to move up. It could end up being, you know, one of those situations. It's going to be a top 10 tilt in Columbus. It's going to be a fun game, but obviously it's still, they got to get through Illinois and they've got to get Sean Clifford healthy. If he's not healthy, you know, we don't know that. You know,
let's have some fun with this. Let's close with this, Jay. I want to get your thoughts. What is the point spread, Penn State versus Ohio State, at Ohio State, with Sean Clifford? And then what is the point spread, Penn State, Ohio State, with Taquan Roberson?
I think Ohio State's favored by 3 if Clifford is in control. And I think Ohio State's 2 touchdown favorites if Roberson's quarterback.
I'll go 7. If Clifford's playing, and I'll go about 18 if Clifford's not playing. And here's the thing, we may never even know, because Vegas may be so worried about that kind of stuff that it could, you know, they could hold the line, you know, or what have you. But it's obviously a huge, huge difference, man. Jared, I'm looking forward to the Illinois game. I'm looking forward to seeing what the kid can do.
That's right. The Fighting Illini. I'm very interested to see how Roberson plays, how the offense is tailored to his skill set. I think the Penn State defense shows up and they do their thing. I honestly don't think that that Illinois scores more than 14 points, but I'm very interested to see how the offense looks with Roberson at the helm. And I'm very interested to see how Penn State handles the Clifford injury leading up to Illinois and leading up to Columbus and their battle with Ohio State here within the next couple of weeks.
Correct. Everybody that stuck through this whole thing, Jared and I are going to try to have a second podcast in the middle of the week here. for maybe the remainder of the season. He can come on my radio show. We'll post that. We did last week. So generally on a Wednesday or a Thursday, we can post that second podcast.
That's right. The more the merrier, as far as Penn State is concerned, as far as Corey and I are concerned as well. And then once football season ends, the hope is for us to get me into the studio with Corey and have at least one day a week where we're talking sports, and that could just be anything. And maybe even music, because Corey introduced me today or this week to Blow by Kesha. I think it's now Corey's favorite song.
I have a thing on my radio show where when we have a guest on, I have them tell their favorite song, and then I play a little bit of a clip from YouTube. Jared had Blow from Kesha. My favorite song is American Pie from Don McLean. Long, long time ago. I love music history.
It's a great song, and you know, it would take us probably about 25 minutes just to get through it, but instead, we're going to go right into the next week. It's Illinois week. We will catch you on the flip side. We'll catch you after the game next week on the DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcasting Network. For Corey Geiger, this has been Jared Pruger on the We Are Podcast.